Today we're building a ghosted Amen style mid bass with a crunchy sampler texture in Ableton Live 12, and this one is all about attitude in the arrangement. Not a bass that just sits there shouting the whole time, but one that creeps in, answers the break, then disappears again like it's part of the drum performance. We're aiming for that dark drum and bass, jungle, roller energy at around 174 BPM. So before we even touch the bass sound, get an Amen break or an Amen style edit looping for 2 bars. That part matters a lot. In this style, the bass should react to the drums, not bulldoze over them. If the break is already busy, the bass needs to find its little gaps and live inside them. Think of this lesson as call and response. The bass makes a short call on one beat, leaves space for the snare or break hit, then comes back with a ghost note or a muted answer. That sense of appearance and disappearance is what gives the groove tension. It's not about making the bass huge all the time. It's about making it feel alive. Start with a MIDI track and load Waveatable. If you prefer, Operator also works really well for this, especially if you want a more disciplined, focused mid-bass. For Waveatable, pick a simple waveform that will take distortion nicely, like a saw or a rich analog-style wave. Keep the unison modest, maybe 2 to 4 voices max, and don't overdo the detune. We want movement, not a washed-out pad. Use a low-pass filter, short envelope, fast attack, short decay, and low sustain. The notes should feel punchy and controlled. At this stage, keep the patch dry and simple. That's important. A lot of people try to bake all the character into the synth itself, but for the sound, the real magic comes from the writing, the texture layer, and then automation. So make the core sound solid first. Now program a 2-bar phrase that leaves space. Start sparse. 3 to 5 notes per bar is often enough. Short notes work best here, usually around 1/16 to 1/8 lengths, with occasional slightly longer notes if you need a little release at the end of the phrase. You want that ghost feeling, so avoid constant movement. Let silence do some of the work. If the bass is stepping on the snare tail, move it. In DNB, the snare is a major anchor, and bass that knows how to get out of the way feels much more intentional. A good writing approach is to place a note on beat 1, then another on the offbeat before or after the snare, then leave a gap. Then bring in a pickup note into the next bar. That kind of phrasing feels like it's speaking with the break. If you want more intensity, you can make the first note a little stronger in velocity and let the following notes fall back. That's a subtle trick, but it adds a leading edge without needing more processing. Now let's add the crunchy sampler texture layer. Create a second track and load Simpler. Use something with character, a chopped break fragment, a noisy one-shot, a metallic stab, a dusty vinyl hit, or even a resampled bass grunt. This layer is there to give the bass that worn, overdriven, slightly damaged sampler feel. It should sound like the bass is wearing a dirty coat, not like a separate instrument fighting for attention. If you're using a one-shot style texture, classic mode is a great place to start. If you want rhythmic variation from a longer sound, slice mode can be useful. Trim the sample tightly, and keep the start and end points clean so it doesn't clutter the groove. If needed, use the filter in Simpler to focus the grit, and shape the volume envelope so the hit is short and percussive. Then process it. Add saturator and drive it lightly to moderately, maybe around 3 to 8 dB depending on the sample. Turn on soft clip if it helps. Add auto filter for movement and use a QA to cut out the low end, especially anything below around 120 Hz. The texture should not be carrying sub. That job belongs elsewhere. If you want a bit more digital bite, Redux can work, but use it carefully. The goal is texture, not destruction. This is where separation becomes really important. Keep the sub clean and centered. Keep the main bass focused on the core mid-range tone. Let the sampler layer carry the dirt, the dust, and the noisy edge. If you want a more advanced setup, you can duplicate the bass and split it into a sub layer and a mid layer. The sub stays mono and controlled. The mid layer gets the distortion, movement, and weirdness. That makes your automation way easier later, because you can push the character without messing up the foundation. On the main bass, use utility to keep the low end mono or nearly mono. Add a bit of saturator if you need extra harmonics, and maybe glue compressor if the phrase needs to feel a little more glued together. Keep that compression subtle. In this style, you usually want the rhythm and note placement to do most of the heavy lifting. Now for the main trick in this lesson, automation. This is what makes the bass feel like it's coasting in and out instead of sitting there the whole time. Automate filter cutoff, drive, texture level, and even small gain changes on the mid layer. You can do this across 4, 8, or 16 bars, depending on how much movement you want. A really effective move is to keep the bass darker at the start of the phrase, then open the filter a little before a snare accent or a phrase change. You can also bring up the saturator drive on a second hit in the phrase so the answer feels more aggressive than the call. Small automation moves often work best here. We're talking about subtle level changes, maybe 1 to 2 dB, not giant swoops every bar. Dark DNB tends to sound more professional when the automation is controlled and musical. If you want the movement to feel even more like a performance, try using clip envelopes instead of only track automation. Clip envelopes are great when the phrase repeats and you want tiny differences each time. They can be especially useful for nudging filter position, shaping velocity, or making the texture swell in and out with more precision. You can also add extra motion with tools like frequency shifter or auto pan on the texture layer. Keep these very light. A tiny amount of frequency shifter in fine mode can create a metallic instability that sounds really good on greedy mid-bass. Auto pan can add micro motion if the amount is low and the rate is slow. The important thing is this: keep the core punch centered and let the weirdness live up top. If the texture feels too polite, don't overpolish it. In fact, a little ugliness is useful. Soloed, the sampler layer might sound rough or even messy, and that's fine. In context, that dirt is what makes the bass tactile. If it sounds too clean, it probably isn't adding enough character. Next, glue the relationship between the drums and bass. Sidechain compression can help, but in amen-driven DNB, note placement is often more important than heavy pumping. If you do use sidechain, keep it modest. You can sidechain the bass group from the drum bus or snare group and aim for just a little reduction, maybe 1 to 3 dB on the mid-bass. If the bass loses too much punch, back off the compression and rely more on phrasing and silence. Sometimes the best sidechain is simply writing the bass so it avoids the snare naturally. Now arrange the idea like a real drop, not just a loop. A great way to do this is to make a 16-bar section that evolves. In the first 4 bars, keep the bass restrained and ghostly. In bars 5 to 8, open the filter a little and let the texture get more active. In bars 9 to 12, introduce a variation, maybe a higher note or a pitch jump. Then in bars 13 to 16, strip it back again and hit the next section with a stronger version. That contrast is what keeps the drop exciting. You can make the arrangement feel even more alive by resampling. Print the bass with its automation into audio, then slice out the best moments and reuse them as new hits. That often sounds more readable than endless MIDI tweaking, because you capture the exact character of the phrase. You can also reverse tiny bits before a note, or place a short reverse texture at the end of an 8-bar phrase to create tension without turning it into a generic riser. As you get close to the final sound, check the mix carefully. Toggle mono on the bass group and make sure the low end stays stable. Use EQA to clear out muddy overlaps if the break and bass are crowding each other. Use spectrum if you want to see where the energy is living, but trust your ears first. At low monitoring levels, the groove should still read clearly. If the bass disappears when it's quiet, that usually means it's relying too much on distortion and not enough on phrasing. A good ghosted bass should feel like it's lurking inside the groove, not sitting on top of it. The listener should notice it in flashes, a transient, a gritty tail, a formant-like blur, a short burst of movement. If every layer is equally loud all the time, the ghost effect disappears. That's why this style is so effective in dark DNB. The bass and the amen break are constantly trading attention, and that push and pull is what makes the drop feel heavy. So here's the takeaway. Build a clean, punchy mid-bass. Add a crunchy sampler layer for dirt and character. Keep the low end disciplined and mono. Then use automation and phrasing to make the bass appear, fade, and reappear like part of the drum performance. That combination of space, contrast, and movement is the whole game. For practice, try building a simple 2-bar loop at 174 BPM. Load an amen break, write a sparse wave-eatable or operator bass phrase, add a simpler texture layer, high-pass it properly, and automate one filter movement across the loop. Then duplicate it, make one variation with a different ending note, and compare how the groove changes. If you can make the bass feel like it's lurking in the rhythm instead of fighting it, you're absolutely on the right track.